Our reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. Ezekiel wrote, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Before we explore this passage a little bit further, we're going to have a reflection on that idea of those dry bones.
Those dry bones get everywhere. In the workplaces and job centres, in the homes and high streets, in the schools and colleges. Those dry bones get everywhere. In the shops and sports arenas, in the places of entertainment, in the centres of leisure. Those dry bones get everywhere, sprinkling their lifeless dust, sapping energy and draining hope, confusing minds and sowing discontent. Those dry bones get everywhere, but so does the breath of God. And so does the hopeful life of the Spirit. Gentle and powerful, rushing and meandering, transforming radically and little by little resurrecting, encouraging, stirring, comforting. those dry bones get everywhere. But so does the breath of God.
We often, as humans, are really good at using physical things and physical situations as metaphors for inner feelings. It's a great way for us to understand what's going on inside by relating things on the outside. So you can feel lonely in a crowd when that loneliness is inside. But you can also feel lonely when there's literally nobody there. So we use an outside experience to express an inward thing. We can be in a storm and feel the power and things flying around. Or we can have a storm inside when things are just that storm of emotions. So far in our series, Worship in the Wilderness, we've particularly focused on the inner wilderness. Those moments when actually we need to learn how to worship differently. We need to be able to connect with God when there are difficulties inside. We've talked about silence and fasting and solitude. We've looked at the sorrow that Jesus had in the desert. But today we're going to particularly focus on our world around us, which in many ways is a wilderness, as that reflection just said. The world is full of dry bones, places of no hope, places of no life, places where there is not a sense of goodness or light there. We live in an increasingly secular society, which sends a message to us. I am what I wear. If you want to be somebody, drive this car. Beautiful on the outside means beautiful on the inside. You're worth it. Our Christian voices can seem more marginalized than ever. Christian values may not be shared with you in your schools or workplaces, the people who run the country, the people who are in your community. It can sometimes feel that we are a minority in an ever-increasing minority. For us in a Baptist church, we stand on the shoulders of giants in that sense. Baptists were always marginalized. They were, don't say this too loudly, troublemakers. They were civil disobedience when the government said, you must all go to your Anglican church and say these prayers and do church in this way. They stood there and said, no. And so some were imprisoned, some were scared. There were limitations on what Baptists could do. You couldn't go to university because you wouldn't say the Anglican creed. You couldn't be an officer in the army, you couldn't be an MP. You were marginalized. So actually, we stand in good history there. But it seems more and more that we can feel that the world out there is a wilderness that we don't really comprehend or understand. Michael's already mentioned AI and computer-generated images. I find it seriously disquieting that I can search on my computer for something, and then a week later, I'll get an advert about that exact same thing. I found it really scary a few years ago when I was searching for little greenhouses for Kate for her birthday. And I looked on a website, and that evening on her Prime Resources website, an advert for exactly the same product I'd been looking at came up on her computer. How did they know? And don't they know we want to buy presents without telling people? It's not fair. But we live in a world that we sometimes feels very much like a wilderness. I was brought up in a world that seemed to make sense to me. But as time goes on, the life we are in seems a little bit more like exile. We have this sense in this passage of the people of Israel in exile in Babylon. And they sense that they feel utterly and completely bereft and lost. And you can understand that, can't you? If we were taken from our home and our country and our place and deported to a foreign country, we would feel that. For them, there could have been no greater crisis than being ripped out of their promised land. The place they called home. The place they knew God had given them. Not only that, but their city was destroyed in Jerusalem and their temple was destroyed. And yet prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, they remind the people that even in the desert of exile, they can still rely on God. For many years, I thought the Boney M song, By the Rivers of Babylon When I Wept, was just a cool song from the 70s. Do you know that one? By the rivers of Babylon. Anyone under 40 is going, I've no idea what that is. But that's a psalm. That's in exile. And it was saying, they tell us to sing our songs of homeland. Like that hobbit in Lord of the Rings, sing us a song. And they say, how can we sing a song of homeland when we're stuck in the middle of nowhere, where we're away from home? But into that, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and today Ezekiel speaks words of hope. Son of man, these bones of the people of Israel, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Do you ever feel like dried bones when you read the news? Another war, another incomprehensible act of violence on somebody, another challenge to the cost of living, another sob story, another disaster, another person ill. It does sometimes feel that we are those dried bones. And yet, God promises his breath. He promises a prophetic word. He promises that those dry bones will come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a very vast army. If we're looking to bring transformation to our world, if we're looking to understand how to be re-engaged, how to have God's breath in us, one of the places that we have to go and start off with is God's Word. We have to let God's Word open his Bible and let it speak into us. We need his Holy Spirit to transform us. And that often happens as we open up his Word. We need to regularly read the Bible ourselves. We need to perhaps go along to home groups, Compass Group, Finders, Orchard, Sleep, Meridian, Hermitage. I'm still trying to work out what the names mean, but I have written them down. To read with others. We need to let God's Word dwell in us by song or by music, by listening to podcasts or by reading the Bible directly itself. Because as we let God's word dwell in us, our perspectives change. Our understanding changes. Our view of the world becomes, I believe, less bleak, more hopeful. God's word can transform and change in a way that is amazing. Even the same passage read numerous times can speak in different times and different places. What we skimmed over one year becomes deeply meaningful in another. To help us learn our Bible, we're going to be putting on an event on Saturday the 13th of June. It's called Walk Through the Bible. We're going to show a short video of what that is, and then I'm going to invite Sue and Isabel, if she's able to come, just to share a little bit about what open Walk Through the Bible is, because they've done it before. So this is taking place on the 13th of June. Let's watch a video and see a little bit about what actually it's all about.
At Walk Through the Bible, we do one thing, and we strive to do it really well. We want to help and encourage people with their Bible and just understanding how it all flows together as one big story. We do this by teaching 5 engaging sessions per testament to put the characters and stories that we know so well and perhaps we don't know so well in order. And then we can stop and consider the geographical context of why that is important. And hopefully we can stop and take something for today as well. We do this, we see it as one big picture. We do that in order to encourage everyone to go away and read it, to read their Bible daily, in order that they then go and live it out in their everyday lives. Put simply, we want people to see it, read it, live it. For me personally, Walk Through the Bible has been just the most useful tool for helping me navigate my Bible and understanding where I am and why I can find the stories where they are. It's also such a great time as a church to come together, set that time aside to look at God's Word, learning together, encouraging each other, and there's something for everyone. For those that have been in church for a long time, and perhaps those that have walked through the doors recently, everyone who comes will receive a workbook that's going to include charts and graphs and will just help us as we go through our day of teaching. You'll also receive a 40-day devotional to follow up, continuing to read your Bible. And you'll get access to a 5-session study group material that is actually shot and filmed here in the Holy Land. So please, if you're interested in learning more about how you can do Walk Through the Bible and experiencing it for yourself, please go to our website, www.bible.org.uk.
Isabel and Sue have both done this project. I thought it'd be really nice to hear what they thought of it, which was positive, I'm pretty sure. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking them up. But come on up. And so, who wants to go first? Tell me.
I'll go first.
So, when did you do Walk Through the Bible?
Actually, Isabel and myself and Malk did it in God Manchester probably 2 years ago or so. What I can remember, probably the wrong thing I can remember about the day, is that we spent a lot of time laughing. It was just a really fun day, on a subject that when you look at it on paper looks quite a dry subject, but it was really brought to life. It seems from 10 till 4:30 you think that's a long time, but actually I could have done with more time. And it was just really good. And it felt like when you go on a school trip and you take your packed lunch, the minute you get there, you want to eat your packed lunch. But, you know, we broke, we had lunch, we engaged with other people, but the presentation was fantastic. I learnt a lot and I should be doing it again because it was that good. I'm going to do it twice.
So it's a really packed day. There won't be a minute you'll be bored, whether you know your Bible backwards or have no clue who David is. That doesn't matter. You will all learn something. You will either learn a huge amount and be completely overwhelmed and you've got the books, you can look at it again, or you'll just go, I'd forgotten that. So it doesn't matter if you're a complete starter on things or you're many, many years in, you will absolutely get something from it, and it will stick with you. Although I have to say, none of the sign, symbol things they teach you to try to get you to remember, can't remember any of them. Useless. It's just not the way my brain works. But you will, they spread it in different ways. They tell you, they give you symbols to try to learn different ways of doing things. They tell you it, you know, you're in Babylon, you're in the red, so you get it sort of visually if your mind works that way. They're really engaging speakers, so you will have a wonderful time if you go, and you will learn so much.
Fantastic. Hopefully, as you came in, you'll have had a little flyer. You can buy tickets from Michelle, or there is a QR code to scan if you want to buy it directly from them. But a great opportunity to dwell in the Bible and to understand a bit more of the broader picture of it. The third thing I wanted to say was about speaking truth to temptation. When Jesus was in the desert, and we've looked at this a little bit, he clearly related those 40 days in the desert to the 40 years of the people of Israel wandering around the desert after Mount Sinai and before they entered the Promised Land. When we reflect on Jesus' time there and the temptations, we'll be perhaps aware, and many of you will know, I'm sure, that whenever he was tempted, he replied with scripture. Actually, scripture from Deuteronomy. Not many of us dip into Deuteronomy regularly, but Jesus clearly did. He said this. This is the words he used from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in that way, Jesus stood where Israel failed. Because the Bible tells us that Israel were in Babylon and captivity because they had failed to follow the word of God. Now, we don't hopefully have a specific 40 days or 40 years of temptation. But there is always a temptation in the week to come that we don't do what we should be doing. Or we don't we do the wrong things that we shouldn't be doing, or we don't do the right things that we should be doing. And the Bible can help us. It can help us to re-engage with God and to know and to like Jesus did with Deuteronomy, to challenge our desires or the temptations that are out there. I once heard it said that the word of God are like stones in the young boy David's sling. That when he faced Goliath, it wasn't his own strength that toppled him. It was God's power through those stones. And this person said, if you think, oh, I really do need this, there's a word of the Bible that can help us to throw and get rid of it. You know, when you think, oh, I really hate them. And the word of God that says, love your enemies and do good to those that persecute you. That can help us to reorientate ourselves. So I'd encourage you to dwell in your Bible. Come along to the walk through the Bible day. Learn scripture. Let it dwell in you. And in doing this, we can flourish in those wilderness places. There was an article recently, wasn't there? I think it was Death Valley in, is it Arizona? I'm not very good on American geography. But they'd had one of the strange things that happens periodically, flowers. It had rained. And all these dormant seeds that had been sitting there parched in 100 degree heat had suddenly bloomed. They don't bloom for long. But apparently when they do, it's absolutely beautiful. This desert landscape can actually be transformed. And yet soon it burns out and it withers. But God's word doesn't. The grass withers and the flowers fade. But the word of God stands forever. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. We're going to sing a moment now, and then we're going to have a time of prayer to reflect on this. And we're going to sing, so I'm going to invite the musicians to come back up. There's a lovely line in this song. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. So let's stand as we sing that together before we come to a time of reflection. Let's say these words of prayer together. Father, when I come to you hungry, perhaps it's because I haven't fed properly from your word. Word of God, feed me. There are times when I lose my way. I feel like I'm going round in circles, unsure of my next step. Word of God, lead me. When I'm stuck in the repetitive habits, I know that you have more for me outside of this mediocrity. Word of God, shake me. Parts of my heart are cold towards the world you love. Fill me with your compassion. Word of God, break me. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Say together, feed me with all wisdom. Lead me with your love. Shake me with your reality. Break me with your perspective. And rebuild me with your Holy Spirit's power. Amen.